Wormholes, particle physics, extra dimensions. Are the wonders of so-called reality really what they appear to be? Or do we exist in an elaborate hologram? Is our universe the result of random activity or the result of intelligent design? If a creator was involved, can we discover him through our perception of divine order? This is Into the Multiverse with Josh Peck.
Hello and welcome to Into the Multiverse and a very special Skywatch Daily. We're doing something a little different today, actually a lot different. We're doing an episode of Into the Multiverse as a daily, and we're also going to have an extended feature for the Multiverse YouTube channel. We'll explain all that a little bit later, but before we do, I really want to get to my panel today. First off, co-hosting with me is Joe Horn, Joe Artist Horn. How are we addressing you now?
I think this month we're going with Joe Horn.
I like that. It's easy to remember. And our very good friend, Pastor Casper McLeod. How are you doing?
Delighted to be with you today.
It is great to have you in studio. I know Joe's been really excited about this. He told me, we should get together and do a multiverse episode. And we kind of decided to do something totally different.
Well, when you look at Casper's writing, his music, his painting, it gets kind of hard to pick out like what you would talk, because he's so versatile.
Exactly.
He kind of covers everything.
Exactly.
We've got Unmasking the Future, talk about transhumanism. Particle physics, things like CERN that you guys talk about on the multiverse quite a bit.
Yeah, originally we were just going to do an episode on that, but then when we all kind of got to talking and realized, man, there's just so much cool stuff here that we got to cover. Music, we're actually going to have a song. If you're watching the extended feature, there'll be two songs, so make sure to check for that. You guys jammed a little bit. We're going to have that clip a little later. So much stuff that we want to talk about and put into this episode. Where to even begin?
Well, so let's jump right into Casper's phenomenal guitar playing. And I can say that because, well, you know,
You're a phenomenal guitar player, so you can say it.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, I second that emotion.
There we go.
Fantastic player.
Man, you guys spun that back to me so quick. I appreciate that. We arranged that earlier, you know.
Yeah. You know, my scripted.
Right. My setup is to enter in humility and talk about Casper.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for the gift.
Thank you, Lord. Picked you up at the airport last night.
That's right.
And we went and had dinner.
Yes.
And kind of talking about today's programs and so forth. But I think the highlight for me last night was we played a little Les Paul and Stratocaster and did it over some blues tracks.
That's right.
And you hadn't been playing blues recently, so that kind of re-spurred some of that interest, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, there's music is broken down into really there's zippity-doo-dah or the blues.
Mm-hmm. You know? Gotcha. And
Beethoven is in the blues, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's emotional. It's... Okay.
Yeah.
And we got a clip of that.
Yeah.
Casper put his phone out. We got a few minutes, and I've shaved something down to about a minute and a half just to give you a little taste of what happened last night. Watch this. Man, time goes by really quick when you're...
There's probably some good ones in there.
Man, that's really cool. You know, what I love most about being in this type of ministry is we're allowed to have fun sometimes.
Right.
You know, we
right.
do deal with dark things sometimes, like the darker sides of prophecy and UFOs, what are they all about? But it's also good to just have fun and relax and kind of share and joy in the Lord together.
I'm having much more fun going to heaven than I ever had going to hell.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that.
Very true. Well, tell us a little bit about that, because you got a pretty amazing testimony, too.
Which would you like to know?
Oh man, I don't know. So you were living in a way that you were going to hell for a while, and then you kind of turned your life around.
I had an amazing opportunity. A friend named Phil Keggy started mm-hmm. sharing Jesus with me.
Oh wow!
And playing guitar, and he just kept. And I'm thinking, like, at this point, Phil's pretty well known. Mm-hmm. He's already played Carnegie Hall. I think he was 17. And blew everyone away. And so he's calling me up and going, why is this guy messing with me? What does he care about me? Who am I?
Were you already an established musician at this point?
Not really. It was before I signed my first record deal kind of thing. And so, Phil was befriending me, just sharing scripture. And one day it just all came together. And, I realized everything he was saying was the absolute truth. And people need Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus.
Yeah.
So you had this amazing opportunity where you could have gone the path that a lot of musicians do, with what we would consider sinful type of lives and behavior. You had that chance where you probably could have been very successful, but instead you found Jesus, turned your life around, and decided to go in a different direction. But you're still a very accomplished musician. So God didn't make you give that up. And I think that's something that is sort of missing in the church sometimes is... any kind of music that's not a piano and from a hymnal is bad and God can't use it. But that's not exactly true, is it?
Not at all. I mean, I did get to a point where I decided I'm not playing another note unless I play for the Lord. And I just made that decision. And so I went for a few weeks where I didn't play, and then the church said, hey, you're a professional musician. I was just coming off Atlantic Records and they asked me if I would write a song for a special occasion. And so I started writing songs like that and never stopped.
Oh, wow. So how did you two become friends? I know you guys are real close.
We met it wasn't even a year ago, but we met at a conference in Colorado.
Yeah, I was already good friends with your dad.
Yes, and of course, my dad, everywhere he goes, he's a proud dad, so he goes up to Casper and he gives him one of my CDs. And
was this the most recent one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah,
was,
right.
That was when
Broken
when
for
he
Good.
He called me up, actually, one time, and he said, hey, you got to check out, because I started realizing, because he knew me as an author first, and then mm-hmm. he realized I was a musician, and he said, you got to check out my son's video, and it was absolutely amazing.
This is the Broken for Good.
The devil went down to Washington.
Yeah.
And I sent it to everybody I knew.
Yeah, that was, I think, in 2009 we put that out. The devil went down to Washington.
He played the Charlie Daniels violin part on guitar. Very impressive.
You remember that old song?
Yeah.
The devil went down to Georgia?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did a parody of it, but it was political and, mm-hmm. I've kind of switched focus. Back then, that was probably some dark satirical expressions that I was sharing with the world. But I'm way more focused now, I think, on where Casper is. And that is the importance of sharing the gospel first. If you really want to change communities, mm-hmm. you have to love individuals first. And back
Amen.
Then, I erred on the side, I believe. I was doing a lot of political radio, mm-hmm. and I was doing a lot of commentary. And I think my attitude probably was... cheerleading for those that already agreed with me, mm-hmm. but putting off those that I really wanted to reach.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about, they and their side and they believe and, what we need to do. And I think I don't want to say I had fallen completely into dominionism,
mm-hmm.
but probably the closest I've ever teetered.
Do you think it was heading in that direction?
I just think my focus needed to get away from thinking I could change things. Not that God doesn't raise up people who have in places of power mm-hmm. in political venues, but certainly as it pertains to me. So I'm not mm-hmm. going to talk about others, but as
right.
it pertains to me, I just feel like God has kind of clarified that my calling is to preach the gospel.
Yeah.
Show people love. Get them curriculums and materials that basically say, hey, you know what? You have a heavenly Father, and He has designed you with a great purpose, and there's hope beyond your circumstances. And guess what? He wants to set you free and give you some peace and joy. And I was not being a very effective tool for the kingdom, focusing on going on radio and tirading against the enemies of my ideas.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. So. And what I've noticed too is that for real change to happen, it happens in the individual and not at top, kind of like what you were saying before. We kind of expect, especially with Trump now in the White House, we expect all this change from the top down, and we might get some of that, but what's really effective, if we go out there and preach the gospel to people who are watching, or we handle the individual first, then the change happens in the roots and question comes up. Now, Casper, you wrote a book called What Was I Thinking that I think deals with some of these areas.
It absolutely does. And see, just preaching the gospel without the power of the gospel mm-hmm. is really self-defeating in a sense. So we need to reconnect with the integrity of the first century church.
Right.
Right. It's time to understand that healing miracles are for today. Mm-hmm. And again, just like you said, you had an attitude. I mean, an attitude, understanding our thought life, because every thought we have is causing thousands of chemical reactions, and we're constantly building new thought architecture. Mm-hmm. So I did spend a lot of time researching how thoughts are created and what we can do about it. When the Lord tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:5, taking every thought captive, the obedience of Christ. Well, most people don't know how to do that.
Right.
How many, in most churches, don't even tell you any inkling. How do I take my thoughts captive? Mm-hmm. Just think about Jesus. Well, that doesn't work for a lot of people, right?
Right. Yeah, because sometimes invading thoughts come in, and it's like a power struggle. So, right. so how does somebody?
The first thing is, you know, not to perish from lack of knowledge. So the first thing when you mm-hmm. a thought comes, I mean, it's thoughts. You could break them down into a number of components, but it goes into the thalamus, which is like the relay station. It's going to bounce about, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where your attitude begins. So are you going to cultivate a godly attitude or an ungodly attitude? And then everything's going to go through your hypothalamus gland, which is the brain of your endocrine system, and dictates how your body's going to respond.
Oh, okay. So to actually take your thoughts captive, you gotta change what's within you. And that kind of makes a lot of sense, because we've seen people who have fallen from the church, who started out, you know, nice and godly and everything, and then get into some sinful things. And then their thought lives, and it'll change like that. It's like from the roots up, kind of like what we were talking about before.
Well, let me give you an example. Sure. The Lord Jesus, you know, is talking to his disciples. He said, who do you say that I am? Mm-hmm. And Peter's, you know, loved this guy, right? So passionate. He goes, you're the Christ, the And Jesus immediately says, you know, flesh and blood didn't reveal this, my heavenly Father. We got more scriptural proof, but we can see that the Lord can speak to us directly. The Holy Spirit can tell us. You might get an original thought, like I'm hungry, mm-hmm. let's go to lunch. And we hear the same God, Peter, a few minutes later in this dialogue, Jesus looks at him and goes, get behind me, Satan.
Yeah.
Now, how did he go from hearing from God, and 5 minutes later he's listening to the devil?
Yeah.
How's it work for you at home, right? You need to understand who's talking to you. And the only way you're going to know that is to read your holy guidebook to the supernatural.
Right.
Amen. Are you living in despair now? Or is there some uncontrollable part of your life that you would like to get free of, or maybe at least have some more information on, and how to talk to God about it? We're going to talk about these things and more when we come back, but I want to show you how you can get a hold of some of Casper's materials here that I highly recommend. I think that'll help a lot of people out there. So watch this.
We've been talking to author and Christian music virtuoso, Pastor Casper McLeod, about his latest book, What Was I Thinking? Well, now's your opportunity to receive your own copy of this amazing work in an incredible special offer available now for a limited time. SkyWatch TV is proud to announce the Unmasking the Future special offer. The book, What Was I Thinking?, reveals the marvelous links between the functions of the brain, the commandments of God, and how your physical, spiritual, and emotional health depend on your understanding of God's Word and how to apply it to your thought life. When you order this special offer, you'll also receive Pastor Casper's incredible book, Unmasking the Future, an imperative read that reveals the biblical truth about the existence of the giant Nephilim, the possibility of ancient astronauts or alien beings, transhumanism, how to face the future without a spirit of fear, and so much more. Plus, what special offer featuring Christian music legend Casper McLeod would be complete without some of his phenomenal musical works? In the Unmasking the Future special offer, you'll also receive Casper's new album, Communion, featuring stellar tracks like In Adoration. In Adoration. I've got a new life.
I got a new life in Jesus. I've got a reason to live.
And more intimate worship songs like Talk to the Wind.
You can talk to the wind and make it obey.
These amazing songs and more. Sold separately, these items would hold a retail value of $45. Yours now for only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. So look to the future without a spirit of fear. Infuse your thought life with biblical scriptures to achieve more healthy living and enjoy the incredible music of Casper McLeod in the Unmasking the Future special offer, available now at the SkyWatch TV store.
Welcome back to Into the Multiverse. I want to jump right back into this. I don't even want to do a little welcome back and, you know, kind of intro thing.
Like you're doing now.
Like I'm doing now and then eating up time. And I don't want to do this thing I'm doing
I want to
now.
Dive right back in, but first I want to delay the dive.
I want to prattle a little bit. But exactly. So before the break, we were talking about how some people, and I'm sure we've all been there, some people just have despair in their lives. They don't know where to go. They feel like maybe they prayed about it.
There's a spirit of heaviness mm-hmm. in the Bible, which we call depression today.
Right.
There's ingredients that, you know, open the door for that to happen, and anger is one of them.
Yeah.
Right? Frustration. And so when you're not, you know, walking this narrow path, the Lord, you know, has the divine word. He tells us to be content in all things,
mm-hmm.
right? And when you get around, you know, true born-again, spirit-filled believers, for the most part, we're seeing people that are content in every situation. You can't always control circumstances. We can't always control everything that's happened in the world, but you can control how you respond to it.
That's right. Right. And that brings up a good point, too, because I think a lot of change within a person happens socially and not necessarily always like legally or something. For example, you know, we've seen, and not to turn this into a politics thing, but we've seen certain laws and legislation that have been passed to try to limit what we can eat, you know, like bans on certain sizes of soda pops or whatever.
Right.
But really, I don't think that that's the way. I think socially that's the way to change. I never dieted in my life. Never. Till I moved here. And a year around people who are healthy, who are dieting, who are taking control of that part of their lives, that inspired me. And now, you know, working with my wife, you know, I'm eating healthier. I don't know if diet's the right word.
Diet is not the right word. You're just having a lifestyle
exactly.
change. Yeah.
It's a lifestyle change because it doesn't
right.
end. You know,
right.
there's not, yeah.
You're going to eat healthy and eat things the way God created them. So, I mean, I tell people I would rather eat an apple that's got a worm inside it than eat an apple that a worm can never possibly live inside.
Nah,
there you go.
That's pretty insightful. I asked a lady at McDonald's one time, I said, what happened when they were mandated by the feds to stop serving the extra large fries? She says, I said, did that slow anything down? She goes, no, they order two mediums.
Yep.
Didn't change anything. But the point is, you cannot legislate morality.
Mm-hmm.
I can't force you to share my worldview through legalese.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be a change that begins with the heart.
So if we go back to looking at the shadow governments and how Hitler's going, you know, if we...
Right,
if,
and that's from your book, Unmasking the Future.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And he tells us, you know, give me your children, one generation, I'll change the world.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think's happening right now?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think that really speaks to how important it is to get ourselves right as individuals, you know. I've heard Derek Gilbert say a bunch of times that the smallest battle formation is the family. And as men, you know, we're the head of that household, that structure. So we have to set the example. So really the change starts as an individual, but it can change a nation, which I think is pretty profound.
See, this goes back to the church needs to preach on repentance again, because
right.
they don't even understand. Repentance means change the way you think and change the way God thinks and put on the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
Who's able to put on the mind of Christ? We're able to put on the mind of Christ, think the way he thinks about it.
Yeah, repentance isn't just something where we say, you know, I'm sorry, and then we do it 1,000 more times. So, like, how can, if this has got to be some new stuff to people out there, if they've never really understood what repentance is all about and why it's so important, what would you tell them?
This is exactly what I would tell them, that understand how your thoughts are created, mm-hmm. understand how to, you know, take control of your thought life and stop just letting any thought wander around, because it can do a lot of damage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every thought, you start entertaining thoughts, well, that guy offended me, that man just, you know, drove me off in, you know, road rage or whatever,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, how is it you could have two people in two identical vehicles in a traffic jam, for example, And one's, you know, in road rage,
mm-hmm.
and the other one's making calls like, hey, that's an opportunity to call my friends. What are you doing this weekend? You want to have a cookout, right?
Right.
They're responding totally different, right? Because of memory, because of experiences in the past. So the guy, I really break it down simply to say, every thought you have has to travel a path of faith or fear.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to go down a path of fear, you're releasing poisonous chemicals into your body.
That makes sense. And I think a lot of times that there aren't as many good situations and bad situations as people want to. It's all about interpretation. Like you say, the traffic jam scenario, a lot of people would look at that as, well, that is just a bad situation. Not necessarily. You know, you can make it a good situation, like you said, about having time to
worship,
finally call
Lord,
your friends. Or yeah, worship the Lord.
Yeah.
Read the Bible. You know, there's a lot of things you can do to turn that into a good thing. So I think you're
again,
right. It
comes back to how you can respond to it.
Yes.
You know, yeah. And the Lord tells us how to respond. Think on these good things.
Think on these good things,
and then
yeah.
It releases healing molecules through your entire body. Yeah.
That's right. Speaking of praising God, you have a song to share with us. That Joe actually took a lot of time to figure out all the studio wires, things that I don't understand, but Joe got it all worked out. What would you like to tell us about this first song?
It's a song I just wrote, and it's not released anywhere, so it's an exclusive here for your show.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, wow.
And,
that was news to me.
I just wrote it. I was working on my sermon notes for the Upper Room Fellowship, and I picked up my guitar just for a moment, the break, you know, and I just doodled down some lyrics. And I played it in the morning, and everybody responded so favorably. I went home, made a little demo of it, and sent it to a few friends, and they were all responding like that. So I reckon when I was praying what to play today, the Lord said, play that.
Right. Oh, that's so cool. What's the name of it?
What's the name of it? Christ is Our Reward.
Christ is Our Reward. Well, check this out.
Suddenly there were angels and the heavenly host praising God. Lovingly they're in glory and brighter than the sun. Angels singing with us gather round His throne. You might be standing here, but you're not standing alone. And we sing, holy, holy, holy is our Lord. We sing, holy, holy, together in one accord. We sing, holy, holy, holy is our Lord. We sing, holy, holy, Christ is our reward. Christ has raised us up together to sit in heavenly places, that in the ages to come we'll know the riches of His grace. For by grace you were saved through faith and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God and nothing else. And we sing, holy, holy, holy is our Lord. We sing, holy, holy, together in one accord. We sing, holy, holy, holy is our Lord. We sing, holy, holy, Christ is our reward. And no one works their way to heaven, lest anyone should boast and misunderstand God's creation and the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We sing, holy, holy, holy is our Lord. We sing, holy, holy, together in one accord. We sing, holy, holy, holy is our Lord. We sing, holy, holy, Christ is our reward. sing holy, holy, holy is our Lord. We sing holy, holy, together in one accord. And we sing holy, holy, holy is our Lord. And we sing holy, holy, Christ is our reward.
Wow, that was a phenomenal song. I can't get over it. And we previously recorded that, I don't want to make it seem like, oh, we just did this. But when you were recording it, I was behind the cameras and chills, you know?
Yeah.
And Joe got them too.
Yeah, I wish I could sit down and doodle. Can I get the gift of doodle?
Lord, give me the gift of doodle.
Give me the gift of doodle.
Creative doodle.
Yeah, no, the solo part of it, man, it was, when he finished, I said, Casper, that made the hair on my arm stand up.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, definitely. And if you at home want a second performance, another song performed by Casper McLeod, make sure that if you're watching this on Roku right now, or if you're watching the 2830 cut, go to youtube.com/intothemultiverse, where we have an extended feature where Casper performs another song and we talk a little longer and things like that. We've been doing a lot of that with Into the Multiverse. People seem to really enjoy it, the extended features. So,
well, one of the focuses of this episode it's kind of more jovial. We're having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And we just wanted to communicate that one of the gifts, I believe, when God gifts somebody with a gift, is for them to enjoy, as they use it for his praise. But it's okay for us to get together, like you saw in the video earlier with Casper and I just jamming back and forth. You know, some of that is just a way to encourage each other. I got a lot out of last night.
Peace and joy in the Holy
peace
Ghost.
Peace and joy, sharing a gift with a brother like Casper. It was like a devotion without really saying much.
Right.
Just a really neat time.
Well, and that's why fellowship is so important too, because I mean we get a lot of that here at work, even though it's work, you know, and ministry, but it's still fun. You know, we probably have more fun than we should, but it's a lot of fun. We get a lot of stuff. I think we get more accomplished that way.
Yeah.
I've worked in places where all the fun and joy is just sucked out of it, and it's replaced with like productivity reports and performance reports and all this stuff. And it just kills the vibe. It kills the spirit of any kind of joy. So I think it can be a great motivator.
You know, laughter is such an important thing, and most adults don't laugh. Children, if you follow them around, they laugh all day long.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
laughter is a good medicine. And we need to learn to laugh again.
It really is. So there are a lot of people watching, and I'm one of them. There are a lot of people watching who are interested in the more conspiratorial type of research and fringe,
like
aliens.
CERN, let's just talk about that for a second.
Sure.
CERN, to me, the more I look at all the research coming in, and by the way, just the other night I discovered that one of the leading scientists at CERN was arrested a couple of years ago.
Oh.
Because he was one of the key people plotting out Al-Qaeda moves.
Wow, I didn't even know that. I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's in some of the English papers. And so I'm going, you know, for discussions like I've had with Anthony Pietsch, you know, this is nothing more than a bunch of Luciferian scientists, brilliant scientists, you know, Dr. Evil.
Right.
And they follow a loser.
Mm-hmm.
Loser, my friend Tommy James calls him Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
And, because he's got brain damage, right?
Right.
And they're following this guy, and they think, you know, they got hundreds of nations pouring all this money into their weapons development program because they think they're going to kill Christ at Armageddon.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. People, you need to understand, we are in the last days.
Mm-hmm.
This is happening.
I quoted a quote in my book, Abaddon Ascending, with Tom Horn. One of the main researchers that works at CERN has said that, you know, it's beautiful to see all these nations come together towards a common goal. You know, if the UN could run this, if the UN could, I'm paraphrasing, but
right.
could run this well, you know, the world would be in better shape. And instantly I thought of Tower of Babel, you know. They all came together with one language, one speech, and one of those, I don't remember which, but in the Hebrew actually means like mindset, you know, like one belief system, one goal.
And we have that today with the internet.
The modern day Tower of Babel. Nudge, nudge, say no more.
There's nothing to see here.
Yeah, exactly. So let me ask you, with all these weird conspiracy type of things going on, and I don't say that derogatorily because anybody that knows me knows that I'm totally in that camp too. But how do we separate the divide here? Because it's easy to get caught up in that kind of stuff, to where that is our total focus, what the enemy is doing, and we focus on nothing else, and we don't have as much of the joy.
I think it's important that we see what, you know, Jesus said, you can tell what the weather's going to be like, how much more should you know the season you're in?
Right.
Okay, so we need to know what's going on, but at the same time, what's the main thing, the main assignment? We joined his army, we said, I make you my Lord and Savior forever, and so now he's our commander-in-chief, and what did he say to do? He said, first thing he said when he was after he was resurrected, Mark 16, cast out demons in my name. Lay hands on the sick that they'll recover. Sometimes I've just put my hand on people, their shoulder when I'm talking.
Yeah.
And I've had people come back to me and say, you know, I don't know what it is. It gets around you and my allergies disappear.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
Well, me and Joe were even talking today that having you in the studio, it's kind of nice, you know, there's just like a nice breezy, airy kind of, I don't know what words to put to it, but it just feels lighter and, you know, having you in studio and everything. And I think this is the first time that you and I actually sat down and talked. We met at that conference.
We've talked at conferences, but not,
not actually.
So many people around, so they really get into it, yeah.
Yeah, I think we both noticed a lighter atmosphere here and, you know, what else could it be?
So there's so much going on, like in unmasking the future. I mean, I had people that were really afraid of the subject matter, but after they read this, because most of them are, you know, they were in churches that believe that God heals today, but they don't want to hear about UFOs and certainly don't want to hear about the return of the Nephilim.
Yeah, they put a cap on how much supernatural stuff they want to.
But they read that and they all came back to me saying, this took away the fear.
Oh, wow.
And I'm so much more, you know, at peace now with how all these things are unfolding, and I understand my assignment, and I understand what God's doing in my life. I mean, again, you know, he's going to preserve his remnant. And, you know, either here, there, or in the air. I mean, we're going to be taken care of. He took care of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. He'll take care of you.
Yeah. And fear can be pretty damaging, too, can it? Maybe even in some ways that most people might not recognize.
A spirit of fear, which God did not give you, right? 2 Timothy 1:7. But we've got power, love, and a sound mind. So that spirit, you know, it's an unclean spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's behind at least 1,400 known diseases, so-called incurable diseases. Mm. There's nothing incurable with Jesus.
You know, it's interesting. I was talking with my father, Tom, about spiritual warfare this last week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the headlines were, you know, the witches across the nation have gathered.
Right.
To cast
they're
these
just depressed people.
Binding spells against the president and ministries and various people that might abed him and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just having this conversation about how sometimes, and this is a terrible mistake that a lot of Christians make. Think about this. Sometimes people are praying to the Lord to remove them from situations because they're under attack.
Mm-hmm.
So they're giving the enemy credit for things that he's not even capable of doing because the protective provision of God is already on them.
Right.
So they're assigning this credit to an enemy that isn't capable of it in the first place, the situation that they're in.
Right.
And what's more, it might actually be that God has put them there.
Mm-hmm.
Because
to be
he's
a light
trying
in the dark places.
Well, to be a light in that situation to those around, but also to stretch that person.
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying, Lord, get me out of this thing. Look at, well, I'm under terrible attack.
Mm-hmm.
But what's more is you also end up giving credit to the enemy.
Right, that makes a lot of
sense. You're feeding
this
power. You're paying attention to him. You're giving him all this props. Like, and then it can be infectious.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody hears you saying, man, my car broke down. I was under attack this week. You know, now that you mention it, my elbow kind of hurts. Boy, He's really prowling around.
And then all of a sudden, it's easy to fall into this, like, victimhood type of mentality.
Well, that, and again, this may sound sarcastic, but I often picture the enemy kind of sitting back with his hands up going, they're doing a pretty good job just living in a finite planet, kind of ruining their own realities.
Right.
With their thoughts and their sins and self-indulgence and whatever. But if they want to give me credit, it inflates me. It makes me powerful, right?
That's precisely how the enemy works. He sends you, you know, it says, you know, casting on vain imaginations. He sends you an image, an imagination, right? of, you know, I'm upset with somebody. It's offended me.
Mm-hmm.
Not realizing, you know, don't go to bed angry, lest the root of bitterness spring up and many be defiled.
Right.
And this is the ingredients for sicknesses and diseases. So the enemy doesn't have to do very much. He could stand back. All he has to do is send you an ungodly thought. You grab hold of it like fish, you know, with bait, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's reeling you in.
Yeah.
And you got to break free.
So how would somebody know if they believe that they might be under legitimate demonic attack? How do they know if it's legitimate or if it's just something where, you know, I mean, like we've said before, not everything's a demon, but like how does somebody tell the difference?
Well, I take it from the perspective that, you know, if you're a Christian,
mm-hmm.
you're under attack.
Right.
And maybe Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. So mm-hmm. the enemy's, you know, wants to target everybody that's working for the Lord.
That makes a lot of sense. And I think that everybody kind of comes to this point when they are under attack where they have to make a decision. Are they going to play victim to it, or are they going to rise above it? You know, God it says in Scripture that, and I'm paraphrasing here, but basically God works all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. But that doesn't mean everything's going to be good.
But he proves that, mm-hmm. right? And we have a great example, the disciples, you know, where they're watching him crucified, and after he's been tortured terribly, it's the worst way to die, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they're totally hopeless. They're in fear because they think they're next. And then 3 days later,
yeah,
everything changes forever.
Well, you mentioned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yeah. Can you imagine? See, they went through what they did.
Mm-hmm.
God kept them through.
They actually went in the fire.
And they gave praise, though.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Well, Acts 5.
Lord, you got to get me out of this mess.
Yeah.
You know, this thing is happening to us. We don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You know.
They said either, you know, the king Nebuchadnezzar, you know, our God can deliver. You can't do anything to us except the Lord, you know, allows it. And even if he doesn't deliver us, we're still going to trust God.
Right? Mm-hmm.
So they got thrown in, seeing the guys thrown in die from the flames, the heat. And I mean, what must they have been thinking? They must have been staying in faith.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be horrifying to see that in our flesh. But the response, to kind of co-answer with Casper, my response would be that your response would be the same.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it is legitimate spiritual attack and God is pulling back the veil because he wants you to go through something, or God put you there to stretch you.
Right.
And it's the response is the same. Proverbs 97:10.
Mm-hmm.
I'm paraphrasing, but basically God will protect those who serve him and keep the deeds of the wicked from befalling them.
Right.
So the response is the same. You give God praise. It's not easy.
Putting on the sacrifice of praise. You don't feel like it at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like, but do it anyways.
It's not always easy.
Yeah, you do it anyways because you realize who he is and you're in awe of him all the time.
It makes me think of Acts 5. You know, the apostles were basically waiting in line to be beaten for their belief and love in Christ. And instead of being scared, I mean, I'm sure they didn't know if this was going to be the day that they die, or at least it was going to be incredibly painful. But instead of allowing that fear to turn them into a victim, they praised God anyway. I think that's one of the most inspiring things.
Well, I mean, think about it. The Paul and Silas in that prison.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now the prisons then were more like a sewer.
Mm-hmm.
They had rats and all kinds of biting insects, and they're down there, their backs are bleeding from being whipped and tortured, basically.
Yeah.
And they're praising God, and the other prisoners hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens? And then they don't even, you know, when the prison gates open supernaturally, earthquake sends it through, right? And the jailer, you know, he's about to commit suicide because he knows it'll be worse.
Mm-hmm.
What they're going to do to him when they find out the prisoner's escaped. And Paul yells, "Nah, we're all here. Don't harm yourself." Leads him into the salvation with his family. What a way to go.
Oh, man, isn't that amazing? So even in the worst circumstances, and actually I think you know, a good point, too, is that brings people to the point where they most likely might be willing to accept Christ, or at least hear it out, you know, when you're in those dire situations. It's a great time to witness and really just operate in love for one another. I think that's something that's missing, too. A lot of times within the church, sometimes within our own circles, we'll have different ideas about different theologies or different, you know, interpretations of different things, and the knee-jerk reaction is to fight about it, you know. Well, that person...
Again, it's we fight not against flesh and blood,
but
against invisible spirits of high places.
Yeah.
Principalities, right? I mean, you and I don't fight against each other because I think you could probably take me.
I don't know about that. I have had hip surgery, so you might have a fighting chance.
So we're not fighting against flesh and blood, you know. Again, I, you know... the enemy wants to stop Christians from advancing and understanding how this works. But, you know, the power of God is for us today to tap into. And I remember a lady that was going to have knee surgery, as you mentioned, hip surgery. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, let me pray for you. And she was like, nah, I don't believe that. It's not going to change anything. And I said, well, my faith trumps your unbelief. So I prayed anyways. She comes back a week later, and her husband was a physician. And she goes, they canceled surgery. They couldn't find a thing wrong with her knee.
Wow.
I had another lady that was raised in a socialist environment, socialist country. And she apparently broken her foot. And I said, let me pray for you. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I don't believe that stuff, you know. And I pray anyways. She comes back a few days later saying, you know, her foot was, it goes back to the doctors. We don't find any, how did this happen? We have an x-ray with a break. There's no break, no.
Wow.
And I let her into salvation at that moment. I said, now what do you want to do about it?
I love that. Wow. You don't hear any like healing type of pastor say that kind of thing. You usually, I love that. My faith trumps your unbelief, you know. Usually you hear, well, if you don't get healed, you have a lack of faith or there's something wrong with you, you know. Have you ever come across anything like that, or have you prayed for somebody who didn't get healed, and how would you interpret that?
Well, it's obviously the Lord says, you know, he's given everybody a measure of faith, and you only need a little bit, you know, a mustard seed, which is right. Like a little pinhead to move mountains, right?
Right.
So you've already got that. So that's a ridiculous thing for somebody to say, well, you just didn't have enough faith.
Yeah.
That's not it at all.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there's so much more that we're starting to understand. One of my physician friends, Dr. Terry Allen, has been sharing with me about vector injuries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so here's like, you know, it's like almost an invisible thing with the G-forces that messes up you internal structurally. And then the doctor is going to give you a pill, mm-hmm. right? As I said before, you know, if you want to take a pill, take the GOS pill.
Right.
It's free and the side effects are beneficial. So these vector injuries, you know, there's people, you know, have it to the shoulder, or, you know, it's going to affect their lungs and upper respiratory problems. And this is what's going on. And yet here they're getting heavily medicated. And it's not fixing the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is no sickness, no disease that can't be healed supernaturally from the Lord. I mean, I've seen the Lord heal people from accidents. And the more you step out in faith and mm-hmm. trust God, whether it works or not, you know, you're going to start to see some success, right?
Right.
If you throw spaghetti against the wall, something will probably stick at some point.
Right.
And once it starts to stick, then the devil can't dissuade you from trying again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the real issue here is the keep going. So I just encourage people that, you know, if you pray for healing and it doesn't happen, it's not because, you know, God doesn't love you as much as the next person that got healed. It's, there's some other schism going on.
Mm-hmm.
You need to spend some time in the Word and ask the Lord what's going on there. Well, why didn't this work? That's what I started doing in ministries. Like if I pray for somebody and they weren't healed, I want to know why. I don't give up.
Right.
I'm just keep doing it. Okay, I want to see you back, you know, tomorrow night. Let's see you next week. Let's keep working on this.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times healing, there's miracles and there's healing. A lot of healings come, you know, in progressions.
Mm-hmm.
But we've seen so many people at this point heal some miraculous things and a lot of healings.
Wow.
And deaf people hearing again, blind people seeing. I mean, this is what's supposed to be happening. And when the church starts to engage in this again, you know, in the last days, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
another Azusa Street, whatever. This is the time.
Amen. Amen. And I want to tell the audience too about, because you have this book, What Was I Thinking, which we talked about a lot, but you also have the student workbook here, and I'll hold this up too so people can see it. The student workbook.
Workbook, and so now people can have a Bible study on their own just with you and the Holy Spirit, or you can mm-hmm. do it with your friends or church. And you can use this as a guidebook, and then you can answer all the questions in the workbook. And when, you know, the more you, like practicing a piano, the more you practice an instrument, the better you get at it.
Right.
And the better you understand how your thoughts are created, you're not going to be so easily had by the enemy attack.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Before we get to your second song, I want to ask you a little bit about this CD, Communion. I'll hold that up so people can see it, which is also included in this this package that Skywatch TV has put together. But what can you tell us about this? When did this come out? What was the inspiration behind
this
it? What can people
out.
Expect?
This is just within the last week or two.
Oh, wow, that fast.
Just released, yeah.
So are we the first people to get copies of this?
You are.
Oh, wow.
Goodness.
You're spoiling us.
I didn't even plan all that. I'm just finding out.
Yeah. I'm excited about
this. But I'll take
songs.
Credit for having planned this. The Casper McLeod exclusive release week at Skywatch
there
TV.
You go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
One of the songs went to number one on S&T Internet Radio.
Oh, yeah?
In Adoration. So, like, when I'm doing conferences, if mm-hmm. I don't play it, people come up, hey, you didn't play In Adoration. You're going to play Mind of Christ on the anthology record. So that starts off the record. And the song Communion is about taking communion because we should be doing that as often as we can.
I think that's something else that is missing in the church a lot of times. Well, we do have one more song for the audience that you were nice enough to perform here at the Skywatch Studio. What can you tell us about this song?
This is another brand new song. Mm-hmm. It's called Pictures of Jesus. And I just wrote it and decided I would play it rather than something off the record, which, you know, the record label will probably say, well, you should have played something off the album. But it was fun to just play a brand new song. So this is another new song.
Awesome. And I love it. And especially in the spirit of fun and, you know, just having a good time, it has a fun feel to it, you know, and I love it. I want to end the show with that song, but I want to thank you, Joe, for coming on the show. Thank you, Casper,
you
for
bet.
Coming on the show.
Absolutely delighted to spend time with you again.
Yeah. Next time you're in town, we'll have to do this again. This has been a lot of fun.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So all you at home, thank you for joining us into the multiverse. We're going to close out with Casper's song, Pictures of Jesus. Pictures of Jesus. All right, and join us next time. Take care and God bless.
I see pictures of Jesus in my mind, and his word speaks to me, giving me hope in hopeless times with the truth to believe. Pictures of Jesus healing everyone of every disease. Pictures of Jesus extending mercy for you and me. I see answers to what I need as I study and read the inspired word of God, the way to be freed. Oh, pictures of Jesus healing everyone of every disease. Pictures of Jesus extending mercy for you and me. God's desire is to heal all of our sickness and diseases, just as he forgives all of our sins with ease. I see pictures of Jesus in my mind, healing the lame, deaf, and blind. He created life and he conquered death. His power won't be confined. Ooh, pictures of Jesus healing everyone of every disease. Ooh, pictures of Jesus extending mercy for you and me. I see pictures of Jesus healing everyone of every disease. I see pictures of Jesus extending mercy for you and me.